this summer, I had the distinct pleasure of sitting in a pew as my father preached his very first sermon. See, my dad, I'm proud to say, is a newly ordained deacon in his own religious tradition. He started seminary right about the time I finished, so pretty much as a clergy person, I'm several years his elder. He is incidentally a brave man because listening to the mildly pompous and lightly seasoned ministerial advice of one's own daughter is something of a challenge. But I must have given him some hope that ministry is a worthy thing to pursue because he's gone and done it. He's hung up his layperson credentials in exchange for a robe that's not that different than mine. And as he labored and worried over every last word of that first sermon, writing and writing it three different times, practicing it till he had the darn thing memorized, rookie, I waited eagerly to see what message would be the first thing he had to share with his congregation. And so I found myself in that pew, no doubt quite a lot more nervous than he was. And what he said was beautiful, and I told him I was going to steal it. Dad's premise in that first sermon was that the church exists not for itself, not even for the salvation and the growth of its own members, but expressly for the world outside its doors. He said in one particularly poignant passage that the congregation should take all of the neon green exit signs that hang over the outside doors of their sanctuary and change them so that they read "Enter." Because only when we leave the warm embrace of our safe little sanctuaries do we really walk out into the church's mission, a mission that lives in the streets and in our homes, not in sanctuaries under stained glass. Imagine that. Every benediction at the end of every service is really a prelude, the beginning of the real thing, not the end. Every time we leave the safety of our brew home, we enter the challenge and the calling that a church exists to support. And Sunday morning in this way is not even close to the core of our spiritual lives. It's just the beginning, the launching place, the start of something so much bigger than itself. And the church does not end when you cross the corner of Church and Main and put the key in your ignition and head wherever you are heading. It begins there. When you leave this place behind and you take whatever you get here out there to where the real church waits. The relationships, the difficulties, and the great needs of a broken and beautiful world. Turn the exit signs into entrances. Good one, Dad. It reminded me of that story of Heidi Newmark's congregation in the South Bronx, a congregation that almost died, languishing for decades in its own isolation and fear, shut off from its community, feeling always more self-protective than open to transformation. But when finally she got sick of painting over the graffiti and invited the neighborhood to be a part of the life of her congregation, it burst into bloom. When finally she turned the exit into an entrance, life was born anew, and a congregation that no one believed in became a place where people found hope. That metaphor of turning entrances into exits, exits into entrances, maybe they're all related, it's useful because it's pointing to an important question. Namely, what is the point of this thing? What is the purpose of the church? Or if you prefer, the purpose of a congregation, be it my dad's or our congregation, the local temple or mosque, or even a gathering of monks who spend their days in prayer, why bother? What is the point of a beloved community? At one point, that church in the South Bronx mostly existed so that the few who stuck to it could have a place to be married and buried. Now it exists so that the community can gain the spiritual strength it needs to transform the world around it. What is the purpose of the church, or the mosque, or the temple? It is a big question, and admittedly, we can't lump all religious folks together into one big chunk and pretend that they all exist for the same reason. My dad's congregation really does have a different mission than ours, and the monks up at Wat Lao Temple really do exist for a different reason than, say, Sufi dervishes dancing in the streets of Senegal. We can't assume that the broadest possible mission applies to everybody, but there are themes that connect us all, ideas that serve as undercurrents through the entirety of religious practice, particularly the kind of religious practice that is so wacky and so bold as to ask people to show up together in a place like this and do something like worship together. What's the purpose of this gathering? What's the purpose of the church? My dad was telling us that the church exists so that we can leave its sanctuary and act differently in the world. And on the surface, that sounds like pretty standard stuff. The kind of thing we're fond of saying here. But what would it look like if we really meant it? If we really did exist primarily for the difference we make in the world? Shall we turn the exits into entrances, and how could it work? For one, I think we can only change the world if first we are receptive enough to let the experience of beloved community change us. If first we are grounded in the sort of strength that a community like this can offer, our ability to make the world a better place is exponentially increased. We are more effective change agents if we back one another up. I've done some thinking in recent years about the things that churches, specifically Unitarian Universalist congregations like ours, sometimes try to be in the world. I have a theory that sometimes Unitarian Universalist congregations try to fill roles in our communities at which we are destined to fail. That sometimes we try to be things we cannot effectively be. Say, miniature universities. Flashpoints for political power. Unofficial headquarters for the local Democratic Party. In an essay I wrote for a book entitled Reverend X, How Generation X Ministers Are Shaping Unitarian Universalism, I pretty much called our movement to task, and I said with the same mildly pompous and meagerly seasoned tone I used with my dad, that Unitarian Universalists had better stop pretending we are anything other than we are, namely religious institutions whose purpose is different than that of any secular organization, especially a political one. To quote myself, I said in that essay, if we are to continue the story our forebears began, our congregations are called to be more than locations for community activity, academic learning, and civic advancement. We are called to be churches, homes for the Spirit, place where the mystery and the magic of religion happen within us, among us, and beyond us. And mildly pompous as that does sound, I mostly agree with myself. In an effort to change the world, we Unitarian Universalists sometimes run away from our specific religious identity and become something akin to a community center or a social club, a place where like-minded people come together to learn things they mostly already agree with and amplify their already strong opinions by joining forces with other people who share those same opinions. And the truth is that there are universities and continuing education programs that do a better job of hosting lectures than we will ever do. There are political power systems that organize votes better than we ever will, and there are smarter people than I am ready to teach you all sorts of wonderful things. If we're a club, we're not a very good one. If we're a college, we're kind of terrible at it. And if we're a political organization, we are entirely too disorganized to accomplish much. But we aren't those things. We're not called to be a club for members only, or a palace of higher learning, or a place to be united in one political perspective, We are a church, or at least, if you hate that word, a religious organization, and I know I'm still saying the word religious. Which brings us back to the question, what exactly does a church exist to do? In a recent article in the UU World magazine, a discussion arises about whether we should, as individual congregations, be a public church or a private church. And Reverend Bill Murray is quoted as saying, "Too often we have understood our task as relegated to the private sphere, the personal lives of our members. Too often we have preached sermons on trivial and inconsequential subjects, rather than address the significant issues of our time. In a word, too many of our ministers and too many of our churches have retreated into the safety and security of the private sphere and have little or no public ministry, and that is tragic." I feel like Bill is saying something quite similar to what my father was preaching. He's telling us that all too often the exit signs in our sanctuaries are just that, exits. That what we do stays here, doesn't bleed over into the world around us, and it is of service mostly to the limited number of folks who consider themselves to be one of us. And yet, so many of us come to this place each Sunday because we hunger so much for community, because we are sometimes lonely, and our spirits crave connection, camaraderie, and companionship that we find here among people with whom we feel safe, among people we are proud to call our own. The private church, the church that exists to nourish the lives of its own members, can't be dismissed entirely either, because we need each other. We need this place. We need a spiritual family we can call our own. And being a part of this thing, this beloved community, is life-sustaining for many of us. We are both a private and a public church. A congregation that exists to serve one another, and a congregation that must exist to change the world. Our exits are our entrances. Our entrances are our exits. And we can only change the world if we first are changed. We can only nourish others if we find the nourishment we need ourselves. It is true that if we gather with the intention just of creating community in the midst of our isolation, community is all we're going to find. If we gather to profess an intentionally partisan or liberal worldview, that worldview will be all we profess. Our intentions are powerful things, and what we as a congregation set out to do, we will very likely actually do. I can tell you what I think we are called to be, what I think the church exists to do, and the rest, the real work, is up to you. After all, I'm just the minister. In our tradition, it is the congregation that defines itself. It is the congregation that chooses its direction. It is the congregation that chooses what it wants to be. For what it's worth, I think we are called to be for one another, first and foremost, a place of faithful nurturance. A place of connection that uses the guiding hand of spirituality to push us out toward the needs and hopes of the world outside our doors. For what it's worth, I think we're supposed to be a church and not a club, not a school, not anything else but a specifically faith-seeking and broadly speaking religious community that approaches questions through the lens of spiritual deepening. Because that spiritual deepening makes us more capable of doing justice. Because that spiritual deepening makes us gentler people. Because that spiritual deepening makes us nicer to the people we love. My intention each Sunday morning is not to teach you all something like a professor teaches students, as if I ever could. My intention is not to convince you of anything, really, but just to make one halting attempt at connecting us to our source of hope. And our source of challenge, the reason for our action in the world. Likewise, our intention as a congregation is not and cannot be to convince folks to be like us. Our mission is not to find and integrate more people who are already like us into our sphere of friendship and fun. Our mission, I think, is to come here, disparate and different and intentionally diverse, in our outlooks and our perspectives, and find some spiritual grounding that enables us to personally change the world. We come in so that we can go out. We find truth and meaning here so that we can impact the world with our behaviors. We enter this sanctuary so that we have the courage to exit, to go back out there into the waiting world where the real test of all of our ideals lies waiting for us, where the real ministry beckons, where conversations more sacred than any sermon await our listening ears. Let us then be church for one another, at least be religious community for one another, of a sort that exists for more than its own self-perpetuation. Let the doors of this sanctuary swing inward and outward, and may they beckon us, just as they push us out toward all the challenges, the journeys, and the unanswered questions that wait just outside our doors. Amen.